You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning to you, Brevard County. It is Friday, and we hope that you are having a wonderful, wonderful day. Today is 9/11, and I don't know about you, but it was 25 years ago when tragedy struck New York City and Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C., and I remember exactly where I was that day. I was actually spending a couple of weeks. I had attended a revival service. Had been staying in a tent and was on my way to visit a friend and was going to spend a week, you know, seeking the Lord, and did have a wonderful prayer encounter while I was away. But I was in between those two spots and had to make an appearance to testify in a court case. And when I emerged, that was when the second plane was flying into the World Trade Center. And remember hearing things, and it's like not having any real mental concept of what they were describing as I was driving down the road. So I do remember that. We want to remember. Now, I do want to say this. A lot of times society talks about something as being a sacred ground or a sacred event. I want you to remember that the word sacred means holy. It can be a very traumatic place. It can be a place that we want to never forget what happened there, but emotion and sacred are two different things. And so we do want to remember them today. There were some very heroic events that took place. There were things that people did because of their faith and because they knew it was the right thing to do, even though their life ended that day. The phrase "let's roll" comes to mind right off the top of my head. So we're thankful today for all of those who have served admirably, served to make sure that America stays free, whether that is in the military or in civil service or in sacrifice for you and I. So I also want to say today thank you, or happy birthday to a very special person. Their birthday is not today, but it is coming up between now and Monday, and want to make sure that they know that we love them, appreciate them, and honor them. Normally, I would say it is Friday, and that means it's my day off. Today, it is Friday, and there is a prayer event that I will be attending later today, and some of the people from our church will be attending tomorrow as well. And so let's not forget that as people of God, we are to be people of prayer. God did not save us so that we can function independently of Him. He saved us so that we could be dependent upon Him and understand that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Prayer is not a monologue. It is a dialogue. It is best achieved when we realize that God knows everything that we have need of before we even ask. So we do ask, but we also listen to what God has to say. So if you do not have a church home, would love to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. You can type it in your GPS. It'll take you right there, 165 N period Grove Street. And we're going to be worshiping Jesus. We're going to be sharing the word. We're going to be asking God to change our lives and all of us to make us more like Jesus. And that's the pastor included in that prayer. So I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 4 today. We're going through this passage. We're talking about that in verse number 16 of Ephesians 4, that Paul writes, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That is the goal of what this passage is talking about. That's the end result that Paul is longing for by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So verse number 11, and he himself, that would be God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does it, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So one of the things that I enjoyed doing when I was in high school, I don't remember exactly which year it was, whether it was my sophomore, junior, or senior. It was one of those three. But we were introduced to the concept of diagramming sentences. And what it did was it helped provide some structure and clarity of thought so that you could see things that lined up, and it helped to give understanding about that passage. I had an English teacher that attended our church. She was a college graduate. She was at the church there for a while. She ended up moving across the state and to when she got her degree and was teaching over there. But when she would visit, I was asking her back in those days whether there was a program that would diagram sentences, and as far as she knew, there was not. I have a Bible software program, and somehow, some way, there is supposed to be a way to do that, but I haven't figured that out yet. So I approach Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 with that type of mindset. I want to say, okay, what is this? What is related to this section, and where does it move to? So the first part talks about God's gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I don't believe that's an extensive or an exhaustive list. I believe that is a pretty well-rounded list, but there are also administrators and the ministry of helps. There's Romans 13 talks about gifts, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about gifts. God is a giving God. He says if he did not withhold his son, how would he withhold any good and perfect gift from us? Every good and perfect gift comes from him. So all of these gifts are supposed to be recognized as being from God. It is not a self appointed position. It's got to be a God appointed position, and it has purpose. All of these different people are designed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the next section. Those two reasons are given for the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. And, you know, there are some people who say, you know, we want to recognize the pastors, we want to recognize the teachers, we want to recognize the evangelists, but then they get a little nervous about those other two. And I want you to know, God still gives people that he has sent. He still sends prophetic people to call people back into relationship with God. And the truth of the matter is that he's still equipping the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, that brings us to verse number 13. And there is a very important word there. It is only four letters. It's a transitional word. It talks about timing. It talks about endurance. It talks about how long this paradigm will continue to function. And it says this, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, this is the first of the objectives here that is being described. So, it's not the only objective. It's the first objective. And so, till we all come to the unity of the faith. So, we have to ask ourselves as we are reading this question, have we arrived at that destination yet? Have we achieved unity in the faith? Have we all come to the unity of the faith? And the answer is there are still a lot of people that do not know Jesus as Lord. There are a lot of people who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, but there's a whole lot of differing opinions about that. And I will tell you that there's a lot of people who share things on social media, and they, you know, sometimes there's some really good information, sometimes not so good information. So I would say that from my personal assessment, which is nowhere nearly as accurate as God's assessment, confessed, acknowledged, God's perception is better than mine, and his perception is better than yours. My assessment is that we are nowhere near achieving the unity of the faith yet. And what that tells me is that there is still a need in the body of Christ, not just for one person, not just for one gift, but there is still a need for all of us to figure out why God has gifted us to the body of Christ. So, we edify the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, with the objective of achieving unity of the faith. So, several years ago, there was a person that was talking about unity, and they had been elected to office, and they said, elections have consequences. And what that person meant by that was that because I got elected, unity is embracing what I believe, and we're expecting all of you to come into alignment with what I believe. Now, that that party has not stayed in office. And when that party was not in office, then the messaging shifted to say, well, we do not agree with the direction that the other party is taking us, and so we're calling for unity and that y'all come and embrace what we believe. And the, look, it's not just politicians. People have this mindset that unity is other people coming and doing exactly what I believe. So this is what I tell the saints at Merit Assembly of God. Unity is not when you agree with me. And unity is not when I agree with you. Unity is when you and I both come into agreement and come into alignment with what God's word has to say. We come into unity with God. And that's an entirely different paradigm than what the world has to offer. You know, cancel culture exists. Social media has really magnified that to where people are now, if you disagree on anything, they are ready to end any relationship, any privileges of society that you might have because you dared to disagree with them. Did you know that the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? That means it is reality. Jesus is truth. But God is so confident in who he is that when he endowed mankind with the ability to choose whether to believe and obey God or whether to believe in God but disobey God or to even reject belief in God altogether, and a whole bunch of different positions in between there, that he knew that men's choices did not invalidate the reality of who he was. So, God is very merciful. He's very holy. Those two things do not contrast with one another. They happily coexist in the nature of God. And so he doesn't cancel people because they disagree or do not believe in him. He sends apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers and pastors and believers and co-workers and neighbors and family members so that they can come to the unity of the faith. When Jesus was alive, now this is going to give you an insight into my personal inclinations theologically. Okay, now I study the Bible. I've been to Bible school. I've studied theology. I've taught theology. I know what I believe. I have my absolutes. I have my preferences. I have my convictions. And for some of those absolutes, they're from the Word of God, and I firmly believe them. Those are the metric that I have that says, you know what? If I can find another person that believes that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the only means of salvation, there is no other name except Jesus whereby men must be saved. It's the name above all names. It's the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If I can get that in agreement with someone, then we're gonna be able to have a relationship. We're gonna be able to have things in common. There may be some other things that we disagree on. But if I am anchored in Jesus, if the goal is for all of us to come to the unity of the faith, then that's what I strive to do. So when I look in the New Testament and I see the religious leadership who were very firmly entrenched in what they believed, some of them did not believe in the resurrection. Some did not believe in miracles. Some did not believe anything about the value of the scripture. They were constantly undermining scripture. They would have been very liberal in their interpretation of things, so that they did not have any responsibility. For them, their religious position was more about political power than it was about theology. That group was called Sadducees. They did not believe in God. They did not believe in miracles. They did not believe in any supernatural acts at all, and that's why they were sad, you see. I know it's a pastor joke. It's a groaner. The other group was called Pharisees. They were more of the conservatives of the day, but there was no room for debate. I mean, you took as many steps as they told you you could take. They were constantly looking down their nose at other people. They took their position from the scriptures and used it to look down on people rather than as extending an invitation and saying, you know what, there is a God who is holy, who has told us how we should live. But when it came to the possibility that God was going to fulfill scriptures in their lifetime, they disregarded that. They believed in resurrection. They believed in miracles. They just didn't believe that it was going to happen in their day and time. So when it comes to being absolutely convinced, and I see that the Pharisees were so deceived that they did not recognize the fulfillment of scripture when it was right there in front of them, I stay very humble in my belief system, saying, God, I don't want to miss anything you do in my day, because I refuse to have the Spirit of God enlighten me to know what you are doing. Firmly believe the Word of God. I have my theological position on when Jesus is going to come back again. Okay? My theological position is this, that he could come back at any time. And the more that I see that is going on over the past several years, I believe that it could be imminent. I really do. The way that the world is once again turning on Israel, I see that. That's something that is talked about in the end times. When I see the advancement of artificial intelligence and robotics and things like that, and the increase of knowledge that is rapidly intensifying, I say it could be any time. Any time. But I also realize that I'm not God. And so I say, God, I want to be ready should you come today. I also want to be so edified, so strengthened in my faith, that if it's not today and it's not tomorrow, if it's not in the next few months, or if it's not in the next year or 5 years or 10, I want to still be found faithful in Jesus, no matter how difficult, no matter how persecutorial the environment and the culture may be, I still want to be anchored in Jesus, whether it's today or whenever it may come. I want to be found ready in him. So when I was a young man, I was asked by the pastor to chauffeur an elderly man in our congregation to a family funeral. And on the way down, he was talking about this very well-known minister. And he said, I used to really like him, but he said, you know, the Lord, you know, may not come back for a long time yet. He said, I believe he could come back now, but it could be a while. And he said, and when he said that, I just quit listening to him because everybody knows that Jesus is coming back before 1987. And here's what I can tell you. He still hadn't come back yet. And that guy nullified a very solid biblical voice of influence in his life because they did not have unity as far as the timeline. Listen, the unity that we have is about our faith in Jesus. I was a sinner, born a sinner. You were born a sinner. Everybody around us were born sinners. We sin because we were sinners. And the only way to resolve that sin issue was for Jesus Christ, God the Son, the Anointed One, to come and die on a cross and shed his blood for the remission of our sins, that so that they could be wiped away, so that they could be separated from us and would no longer control us, and that when he came in as Savior, he would be our Lord, the captain of our salvation, and he would empower us by his grace, by his Spirit, and by his Word to live the life we were meant and created by God to live in holiness, to live in purpose, to live for the glory of God. And so, you want to know why I'm here? I'm here to tell you about Jesus. I need Jesus as much today as that first day when I asked him to be my Savior and Lord, and so do you. If you have never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, do it today. The 9/11, people went to work thinking it was an average, ordinary day. They didn't realize that was, for thousands of people, that was their last day on earth. Don't procrastinate. Ask Jesus, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. I want to acknowledge that you are my Lord, my Savior. I have my faith in you. I trust you. Thank you for making my life the life you want it to be. God bless you. You have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.